You see, people collect all kinds of things. New, old, priceless, worthless. Darling, it doesn't matter what. I simply must know why. Those mothballs shouldn't get to keep all the secrets. This is the Mothball Prophecies.
Hello and welcome to the Mothball Prophecies. I'm Samantha Mashburn.
And I'm Gray.
Today we're sitting down to talk about the new venture of the Mothball Prophecies, the new business that really was literally hurled in a catapult at my lap. It's also the weekend of America's birthday, so I'm recording from a blanket fort, and Jonathan is panicking because he's not.
I've made several mistakes this evening. Not being prepared for explosions right outside my window was
for America's ammunition.
Yes.
Yeah. The fanfare that's happening.
China's ammunition, black powder.
I knew somebody was going to get into semantics. I just didn't expect it so soon. I figured an Instagram thing, not a, I get it, you know. But yeah, it was, we had like talked about this and both of us fully not realizing what weekend it was. And as we're approaching closer to recording time, it's also getting darker outside. And my neighborhood's real into the fanfare aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So it's everywhere. So I'm underneath a blanket. There's cushions and stuff stuffed into windows. I had to crawl in, and then my husband left the room, so I'm in here.
Yeah. Well, now being familiar myself with vocal boost and any kind of
as you move egregiously from the microphone.
Well, are you comfortable? is my question. Are you mm-hmm. getting a little too warm? Do you have some ventilation or some kind of
yes
airflow, air circulation?
I cannot remember the type of my microphone. It's not dynamic, right? It's a
either condenser or dynamic. Probably dynamic.
It's a dynamic, not a condenser. Yeah. So it's only picking up sound from directly in front of it and like kind of behind it, right? Mm-hmm. So I've blocked all that off. The AC's been on in the house all day because it was also the surface of the sun temperature outside today. Mm-hmm. So the basement is actually 60 degrees. So this was the perfect way to be down here. Oh, and so, no, it is not. It's open on the front to the laptop because there's no sound coming from that direction from outside. So I'm comfortable. I have sweats and a sweater on. I got water. We're good to go.
Fantastic.
On this end. And it's almost 11. So I think most everybody is saving their finales for Sunday and Monday and mm-hmm. Tuesday and
yeah.
Wednesday
they got
to the random
the
day.
The Eager Beavers got their shot out. So
they were ready to go.
Yeah.
Early bird gets the worm, you know?
I guess so.
Yeah. So it has been a...
Or the fireworks snake, as it may be.
You know, the what?
You know, this little...
Oh, those are my favorite. Little, the black snakes?
Yeah. The it's just black powder, and I can't remember what else, but it burns, and then it shoots out of like an ashy snake.
Yeah.
From the firework, yeah.
They're the best.
That's fine.
Somebody said, I don't believe that the 4th of July is a real holiday because Reese's doesn't have a shape for it. And I laughed so hard. There's no Reese's shape for the 4th of July.
Julie.
That's what you say at work. But yeah, I love snakes. Those are some of my favorite things just because it hits all my buttons. It stains the sidewalk forever.
Yeah. Forever.
It's erratic.
Permanent.
You don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. A little bit of wind. Watch out.
It's exciting.
Out. Yeah. That, and I like ground blooms.
Turns you into a toddler.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's all I am all the time.
Oh, my God.
And sparklers. That's what I like.
I'm not such a so huge into 4th of July, because I always think of, I like explosions. I like fireworks and things, mm-hmm. but I don't like it in city limits like that, just because I can't help but think of animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, animals, veterans, like, I think of people's homes. Like, the neighborhood I live in has a lot of trees for Idaho Falls. Mm-hmm. Like, my backyard has 14 trees in it line the property.
I didn't realize that.
And then there's, like, 80-year-old pine trees. Like,
right.
And people will light off mortars in their backyard, and it's like dueling mortars over mm-hmm. each other's houses.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes me really nervous for all of the reasons. It's not a... Something. So if you're celebrating and enjoying, like, have at it, but don't shoot Roman candles at each other. This podcast does not endorse the use of fireworks in an illegal or unsafe manner. Okay.
Yeah.
Covered.
Keep your fingers covered and digits and, you know, all those things.
Everything. Houses, trees. Let's get to what we're here for today. You can cut all that or keep it, whatever the fuck you want to do. So we're sitting down today on this holiday weekend, which was not a great idea, to talk about this rapid and ferocious change that has happened in the last, what, 2 weeks, Gray?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Been planned so, much longer.
Yes, I had set, and I posted about it earlier this week, I'd set a 5-year goal for myself. Mm-hmm. With the goal of starting an estate sale company, right? And it was a 5-year goal. And I'm like, I'm 2 years in. I got plenty of time to figure this out. And I'm always kind of thinking about it, what I would do. How would I operate things? What does that even look like infrastructure wise? Well, I'm happy to report that I was able to figure all of this out in 10 business days. 10.
Didn't take quite 5 years like you're maybe thinking. I think
No, it did not.
Yeah. I think with it would have been, you know, better late than never, but early is also good. I believe we were just talking a little bit ago. Early bird does get the worm. I suppose mm-hmm. that's a good analogy for this. I don't think it's ever too early to start enacting big plans such as that, right? Because who mm-hmm. knows? It might take longer to get going or. Especially if you were feeling at a certain point, anyways, if you were feeling that you were, if it was the right time, let's say.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That timing is more important than anything. And if that mm-hmm. happens to come earlier than you expected, all the better for it.
Yeah. And there's an interesting thing too. I was talking about this with my mom today, right? There's timing and then there's opportunity. And the two often do not align perfectly, right? It's like a little mm-hmm. left to center, a little this, a little mm-hmm. that, right? Like there's, and, you know, I do have to credit the Mothball Prophecies, the podcast, for helping me develop a less fear of failure or less fear of doing something imperfect. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of this show, I was in absolute fucking maniac about details and what needed to be done and how it needed to be done and all of these things, right? And I have to give you a ton of credit for being like, hey, it's your podcast. Do what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
Have this be what you want it to be. And that has really helped in the thought process of creating this thing of it's my estate sale company. Mm-hmm. Make it what you want it to be. It's okay if you fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So
make it yours.
Yeah. Make it mine. And it's like the first time in 2 years. I genuinely believe that is like a core value of I'm going to make it mine. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
I love it.
And that's really different than where we were when we started this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for, I always tell Gray and everybody on our team, I always go, Gray is my absolute voice of reason. If I need objective, no bullshit criticism in the best way from somebody I trust, I go to Gray. I will go, I need feedback on this. Will you tell me where I'm at? And he always goes, yeah, this is where you're being a fucking dumbass about this. Why are you so, or no, you're on the right track, or this is exactly what you should do, or oh, fuck yeah, that's what you're doing. And I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah.
Well, I always try to be realistic, but also encouraging, right? It's not necessarily in my nature to bullshit people. I want people to give it to me straight, right? As much
yeah,
as
of course.
So I kind of treat it the opposite direction, the same. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you and I have been friends for a very long time, mm-hmm. like 15 and a half, 16 years.
Wow.
And I know when I go to you for advice, it's a trusted source. You're literally not trying to do anything to conflate an ego. Mm-hmm. I also know you are not going to hurt my feelings it's not the type of person that you are. So when I do get criticism from you, I'm like, oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And you've also heard me talk about this dream and goal for 2 years. Mm-hmm. 2 years, it's been the the going thing. And the thing that kind of started it is I mentioned wanting to do estate sales at my antique study group. We've started meeting again. We had a meeting and I mentioned to a member that I hadn't seen at a couple of the other meetings.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
She was like, what are you doing? What's going on? And I told her, I finally said it out loud, right? I admitted it out loud outside of this circle, the mothball circle. And I said to her, I said, you know, I said, my goal in 5 years is to start an estate sale company. And she just looks at me. She goes, oh, that's fantastic. I love that. That's going to be so great. We talk about it. We do all these things. I talk about my business model and what I want to do. And we'll get into that. And she was so complimentary and so nice and all of these things. And so I went about my next couple of weeks of life and I got a phone call one Saturday from a number I didn't recognize. And I don't think I've told this full story yet on the show. I got a number I didn't recognize. I do what any sane person does, and I Google the number instead of answering it. And I look it up and it's from a person, not a scam, anything like that. There's no reports. And so I'm like, okay. By the time I'm done fleshing it out, there's a voicemail. And the voicemail is from the son of a member of the antique study group that I spoke about on the podcast about her passing. And it really affected me because she was always so kind to me and welcoming and opening and created a space for me and championed me, all of those things, right? We really had a great time together and she did pass away unexpectedly. And this voicemail goes on to explain that this is her son. And that this other woman in Antique Study Group had said that you wanted to do estate sales. We don't want to hire you for that. But she said you could help us identify the things in the house and said that you had a podcast, you're super knowledgeable, you know how to look stuff up, and that you would come help us. Would you be interested in that? And I said to him, I'm honored. I would love to do that. I loved your mom. Can't wait to meet all of you. And I went to the house and spent 3 hours with her four children that I had heard so much about. And then I got to hear more and more and more about their mom for the next 3.5 hours. And we went through the house and about 20 minutes into the interaction, the son says to me, would you like to go? Would you like to see the antiques? And I was like, absolutely. Now, mind you, this woman's house was full, like my grandmother's house was, but she had four children and they had essentially liquidated everything from the home except for like what was in the 2-car garage, which was not a lot.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful. And I went out to the garage. There was four metal garage shelves. And I was like, oh my God. And at this point, there had already been an auction house that had come through and claimed what they wanted, which was a very minimal amount of what was in the home.
It's surprising.
And I did what my little ADHD squirrel brain does, and I jump right into pulling stuff off shelves, identifying it, almost breaking something. And about 20 minutes in, he looks at his sisters and looks back at me and said, would you be interested in selling some of mom's things for a commission? And I said, absolutely, without hesitation. I said, I would love to do that for her and for all of you. I would be honored. So then we spent the rest of the time going through and I was explaining things that are collectible, what sometimes people throw away. And lo and behold, they pulled a lot of stuff out of the garbage and that I have at my house. It was in the recycling. And by the time I came back the next day to research and collect items, they had done their homework, gone through their things, returned some things to the estate, and found some other things that they were going to donate to put back into the estate for me to take.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. This woman worked at the Pentagon right out of high school.
Oh, wow.
Graduated, worked at the Pentagon. And this was in, I mean, late 40s, early 50s.
Wow. Wow.
And she works at the Pentagon. And then from the Pentagon, she gets a job with the military in Paris and spends between 3 and 4 years overseas. Working and collecting the most beautiful fucking antiques you've ever seen, right? She modeled while she was over there. She married somebody that graduated from West Point and had a fucking, like, they cut their cake with a saber, his fucking awesome. Saber. And the family, so we're stitching together this timeline. Yeah. Married in a mink stole over her dress, drove away in a Bel Air. What else do you want? And then they explained to me the trajectory of the rest of their house and her life. The other interesting fact was her second husband's father engineered the gears needed for torpedo missile guiding from jets during World War II. The like gyroscoping mechanism underneath the jets.
Say the whole started the whole beacon from the.
You got it.
Say the whole phrase from the.
Let me back that up. This is not my wheelhouse.
No, it's fine.
So the mechanism located on a jet that maneuvers the torpedo and aligns it early. Well, this is World War II. That mechanism, that like gyroscope kind of thing. Her second husband's father engineered that piece of machinery, and they had one of those in the home.
Or it was an actual unit?
Yeah, it was. It was the prototype, and then in production in the U.S. military. That's and incredible. They had one of the mechanisms in the home from one of the planes that was used during World War II with a picture of the plane and everything. Mm-hmm. So I got to hear and see and be a part of all of the things I love and the entire reason this show exists. It was this very much full circle. I cried a lot. They cried. It was, I was able to tell this family, it was the whole purpose, right? The entire purpose came together in this moment. I was able to tell them things about stuff in their house, their mom's home, that they did not know the story about.
Right.
Because of what I had heard from being in the room with her while she shared them.
Wow.
And I spent 4 hours in the garage going over the shelves, gathering things.
Irreplaceable stories for all these things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I get to do the beautiful thing of passing those stories along to whoever buys the items that I am selling for a commission. The items I have for sale, I've not listed yet because I wanted to announce it and let life settle down a little bit. These will also be listed on like Mothball Estate Sales Instagram and Mothball Prophecies. And these are listed at the commission for the family, but with the stories attached to them. And you could own something from the woman that essentially started the whole thing. And they're incredible pieces. Incredible. And it's just, I got a little bit of everything. There's ephemera, crystal, porcelain, silver. There's some Chinese snuff bottles. I have some vintage tins. I have some two West Point Thanksgiving dinner menus from 1953 and 1954. The menu from the dinner.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, like celebratory dinners?
Yeah, and it has the full course menu. Everything they served. Embossed, foiled, little tassel. I also have newspapers from President Kennedy's assassination, as well as Lee Harvey Oswald's.
Wow.
The papers from that time. The printed paper following the assassination.
That's astounding. That's incredible points in history. Jesus.
Yeah. There's also the Time magazine that is all of the photos of the Kennedy processional leaving the Capitol to the cemetery.
Wow.
And
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Got those when she lived on that side of the country while her husband worked in the military. So from Virginia and Maryland. Oh. Yeah. So long story long, as always, that was the one grain of sand that started to tip the scale the other way from this being a 5-year goal to what's happening. This isn't level anymore. The room is moving. What's going on? And within the first 24 hours, I had sold a large amount of things to local people, which is astounding. I know where they're at. I won't say her name. I know where they're at. They're the perfect place to have them. When she's ready to share in her space, I can't wait. And I went back to the house the next day. I messaged the son at about 9 o'clock, and I said, hey, I got to come back to the house. I sold some more things I didn't pick up because I didn't want to ship them. And I went back to the house and filled my car back up and then dropped all those things off. And they kept, you know, we had these beautiful moments where they'd go, mom would be absolutely honored and elated that you were doing this for her. So, fast forward to about 3 weeks later in the salon. I work directly behind my aunt. She works directly behind me. We've been that way for the better part of 14 years. And there was this woman who 7 weeks ago started talking about having to liquidate her mother-in-law's home.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how overwhelming it is with all of the things. Not wanting to get rid of something that's valuable, not knowing what's valuable, not knowing where to even begin because they are vintage civilians, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. They have no knowledge in this world. And I'm behind my aunt, like just literally stitching my own mouth shut to be like, shut up. Do not turn around. Shut up. I eventually get to the point that I cannot shut up. And I just turn around and I go, what are we talking about? I said, you're doing what? And she begins to explain. Then she turns her phone around and shows me. I went, oh, that's a Madame Alexander doll. And she goes, how do you know that? I said, because it's a Madame Alexander doll. She's like, how do you know that? And my aunt goes, she has a podcast about antiques. And she goes, really? Because everybody thinks I have a podcast about hairdressing or gardening.
Right.
Nobody picks that.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that's what that is. I said, do you have anything else? She turned something else around. I was like, oh, it's Melmac. She goes, what? She turns around. I'm like, oh, that's Corral Spring Daisy. And she's like, how do you fucking wear? And I'm like, I don't know. My brain will forget my credit card number, but it will remember that Pyrex is made with XYZ. I don't know. I don't know what this filing system's doing. So that was, so there was two conversations about this. They were about 7 weeks apart.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes back in 3 weeks after I've taken this commission job. And then I say to her, I'd love to come help you identify things, like whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we could always set something up, yada, yada. And she said, that'd be great. Another several weeks pass. She comes back in and she's still talking about this house. This is now 8 to 10 weeks of time.
Oh, wow.
She's talking about these things, but now she's talking about them in the way of her husband wanted her to do an estate sale. Things needed to move. The owner of the home is still alive, just moved downsized to like a senior home environment. Mm-hmm. And so now they're having to do what you have to do in order to afford the care for those places and whatever else, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 40 years of collections in this home, 40 plus years in this one home. And she's talking about it. I'm keeping my mouth shut. There's a mothballer in my chair, Christina, who is the Three Things podcast. And we're talking. We're both listening. We're also looking up items that I had brought home, right? We're looking up this specific Noritake candy dish that I can't find anything about. We go back to the shampoo bowl. And I start to hear the woman in my aunt's chair speak about an estate sale and how they're thinking about having one the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I like could the muffle like just came off. And I said, have you, I said, I'm sorry, I have to ask, have you been to an estate sale? And she goes, no, I've never. I said, have you priced anything? Have you staged anything? She goes, no, I'm still going through the house. I've never done that. I don't know what to do. And I'm the only one that would be able to do it.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, that's daunting. I said, maybe you should like look into, you know, a local company.
Hire somebody, baby.
Yeah. I'm like, there's a potential to maybe get rid of some things that are really high value or whatever else. I said, and at this point, I had not been in the home. And she says, she goes, well, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know who to call. I don't know what to do for that. And my aunt says, now, mind you, I'm back. Her back is facing me. We're both at the shampoo bowl. And my aunt goes, oh, well, you should hire Sam. She knows how to do that. And I like look up at the back of her like, what the fuck did you just say in my head? And my client, who's a mothballer, looks up at me and is just nodding like, yeah.
No,
like no voice, just like, yeah, you got. Yeah. And I'm looking down at her and then looking at my aunt like, what are you two doing? And the client in my aunt's chair goes, oh, really, Sam? Do you know how to do that? And I go, oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
So rarely in life does life just appear to be conspiring against you. So
like a kickball at Rhesus to my face with braces and glasses.
Right.
Right to the kisser. So I go, yeah, because really, yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then I continue to look at my aunt, and then now she's just gassing me up, telling her all these things. I get my client, go back to my shampoo bowl, and this client, who is shorter than me, reaches up, grabs either side of my apron straps, and pulls me into her face and goes, I will help you. You know how estate sale companies have helpers? I will be that helper. You tell me when and I will be there. You can do this. And then we sit down and she goes, well, what do you need for this? And I was like a sugar daddy, mommy, sugar they, them, you know, that. Right. And she says, I'll help you. Like, you know, you figure it out. We'll see what we do. Then 3 weeks pass. We go to Stevie Nicks. All this is happening. On the way to Stevie Nicks, I reach out to this woman. She takes my number that day when she leaves. And I'm not going to approach her first, right? She leaves. It's been a couple of weeks. We're leaving to go to Stevie Nicks. And I'm in the car with Melissa, Spellcheck, and Donnie. And they all go, fucking text her. And I'm like, okay. So I send her a text message and I say, hey, no pressure. Just wanted to see if you were still interested in setting up some time to meet. And then she sends this whole thing. Like, I've been meaning to text you. I've been busy. I've been going through things. This whole thing. She said, let's meet Friday. That's what I was getting back. We didn't end up meeting until Monday. But I went to the house. And as I enter the back door, first of all, it's off of one of the busiest streets in Idaho Falls.
Okay.
So I go to the home. She said, enter through the side door. Front door's blocked. And I was like, okay. I walk in and the first thing I see are these incredible vintage curtains over the windows and beautiful mid-century oak cabinets, right? And then I see canisters of Tupperware, yellow, green, mushrooms. And then I turn and there's an R2-D2 corkboard behind me. Then I look through the living room and there's a beautiful mid-century lamp. And I went, if that is any indication of what is in this home, I would be an idiot to not agree to this. So I spent the next 2 hours in the home. And we spoke about what an estate sale is, how it works, the way I will operate the sale, which we'll get into in just a second, and said, would you like to set up a contract? We can have a time. She says, yep, let's meet next week. My husband's back in town and we'll sign. And then I sent a frantic group message to everybody going, mothballs assemble. It's on. It's game time. It's happening. And I, you know, was like, I would be, one, a fool to not jump. And two, I started a podcast. I can do hard things. I can figure stuff out. The logistics, right? I know all the other parts about it, mostly.
Right.
But the logistics of it. So
you had a basic understanding of what things would, what it could entail. So you're like, just kind of weighing the options at that point.
And I was fortunate enough to watch, you know, like my mentor, idol, friend, work through my grandmother's house and see kind of the breakdown of it. And I'm very fortunate for that experience to be on that side of it. I'm highly appreciative of that, whether she knows that or not. And I just put my head down and got to work. And all of the rollout y'all saw was literally a week made, done, branded, all of it. And I'm very proud of it. And like Gray had mentioned, I had thought about this for a long time of what I want it to look like. And my biggest priority is to make sure that the family knows their items are being respected and treasured and loved, whether it is a priceless heirloom or a handkerchief or a dishcloth. Everybody that's in that home and that will have hands on those items will honor the, it's a, just like the continuation of the vintage foster care system, right? Like we are there as stewards to make sure that people that come to that sale know the story of the person that got it.
Right.
Which is why we landed on Mothball Estate Sales, a sale with a story. Because it will be one of the most important things we do during the completion of the sale is to make sure the customers that are interested in knowing who this person was, because we all ask, what did they do? Are they alive?
Right.
Man, why did they have this? To have everybody working that sale be able to be like, oh, you know what? She raised three boys in this house. She worked at a small town store. She loved to buy things on a bargain and she had a great eye. And to continue so that when those items leave, the stories go with them and then are passed on again.
Right.
And I, you know, it's a little known fact in this universe is my first career choice was going to be funeral directing, not because of the job they do, but because of the opportunity they get to be there to walk with somebody during the hardest time of their life. And I always link estate sales to that same thing, right? And the gravity of it really hit me when I was doing my grandmother's estate sale, being a part of that. Every item that leaves that home is a memory that you may not have triggered again because the item's gone.
It's the last chance for this person, for the world to have a memory of this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the same reason I did hairdressing. I wanted to be there to help people when they needed it, whether they knew they did or not, to encourage and enlighten and offer support, to bring a little light to the darkness and unknown of this new journey. Nobody in this world has a playbook for birth, death, or grief. Nobody. Everybody's expected to know how to handle that situation with grace and humility and acting sane and all of that stuff. None of us, hopefully, experience enough grief in our lives to have a playbook. So there needs to be people and support systems that come in that their main priority is to make sure that you are supported and your questions are answered and all of that.
And yeah.
Once
a person dies, I think one thing that's very interesting about living as a human being, right, is that once a person dies, it's no longer about them.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that involves their name or their memory is no longer about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the world's perception of them,
mm-hmm.
be it the relatives or the loved ones, the people that actually cared for this person, or public perception, say whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe a lot of people might not have the perspective that so much of this needs a gentle hand, like mm-hmm. guiding people in the transition of like losing this person, because it's like once a person is gone, that's all mm-hmm. you have is all these memories. So,
and then all of a sudden, all of the items you never paid attention to become 10 times more important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because now you're going, am I awful for selling this? Am I heartless? Would they be disappointed in me for making this choice? And there's also the other side of it where there's going to be homes and estates and different things like that where either the person had nobody or maybe they were not well liked. But it all deserves the same level of care.
Mm.
Because it was, at the end of the day, a person, memories, life, sentiment, meaning, you know? And I was like, how do you transfer that, right? And I was like, I already have the opportunity to do that a lot behind the chair. I have done hair several times for my clients at their final hair appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I treat those appointments just as if they were sitting in my chair a couple weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
We have our same conversation. I apologize for not doing their bangs the way they liked them. I appreciate the fact that, you know, like I'm careful. I hold my comb the same as if I'm not going to burn them. I apologize for backcombing too hard. Whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm there in that moment to hopefully give their family a version of the person they love.
Right.
And that is my direct goal with this. I want Mothball Estate Sales to feel like a safe place for people to pass this incredibly difficult decision off to and know that the home will be treated as the same as that final hair appointment. How do we send this home off with the best possible champagne break-in type thing to have people in that respect it, understand it, appreciate it, and want to know? How do you do that? And that's where the building block for the idea of this came from. How do I support people and give them answers they may not know to ask?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guiding people through things, explaining to them like, no, you don't have to sort that box. I'll go through it. It's okay. And then also if I find anything important or sentimental or money or anything like that, I'll be sure you get it. You will have it, you know, and laying the groundwork for that. And it feels like it feels the same amount of blessing I feel when somebody asks me to do their hair for their wedding, right? Or a child's first haircut, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or that final appointment. I have been with a lot of people through birth, death, life, marriage, divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel incredibly honored to be trusted with this very first estate sale. And I'm excited to introduce this to my community, not only as a service, but as an experience. I'm excited for people to see the signs and to go, oh shit, there's a mothball estate sale. Let's go. You know, I'm excited. I'm really,
that's super awesome.
Really excited.
So what is your plan and how are you going to execute that? How are you going to lead off of these people's stories?
Yeah. And that was like something I really, that's a good question. Cause it's something to think about of like, how do you articulate it in a way that's easily digestible and understood to a large audience, right? Mm-hmm. That isn't essentially coming immediately for the story, right? They will learn, I hope, to expect that and be like, I can't wait to hear the story of this house, these things. Mm-hmm. My main goal is to create a narrative throughout the marketing of the estate sale, like short stories in a way, but very short, right? To create, one, some drive to want to know a little bit more, to also highlight the things that are in the home that tell the story of the collector, right? We've learned that with this show. And to also have everybody that works for me at these estate sales have the same bullet points and understanding of the story. So that if you ask anybody on the Mothball Estates team about it, they will have answers for you and be able to continue that story for you. It will be in every contract we have. The story is the first thing you need to know, and then we're going to learn the items. And we're going to build on the story with all of us and be able to create a narrative to then transfer to the people. With the only difference being, most of the time, the name is going to be fake. It won't include exact details because it's private. But we can give them a name. We can turn it into a little bit of fiction. But the points are all the same, right? And that's my, you know, and we're still, it's a workable plan. We'll find what works best. But at this point, the most important part is to make sure it's like a timeline, right? It's a bulleted list of who they were, what they did, how many kids did they have. And that all links to when they were collecting, how long they lived in the house. All of those things. If they traveled, it's all the things you see when you go into a house and you go, ooh, did they travel? You'll already know that. Did they do this? Yep. Did they sell Avon and Tupperware? Absolutely they did. Were there just a bunch of boys in this house? Oh yeah, three of them. During the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All of those details already exist. So why not explain them? Tell people. Appreciate it. And, you know, the other thing I want to do, because of course we want to capture these stories, right? But these families may not want some of the intimate parts public on the mothball prophecies, right? So I want to find a way to facilitate a way to, when I go through for a consultation and contract signing, I have recording equipment with me to record raw audio of, because everybody knows when you're going through a loved one's home or your own home and somebody's there for the first time, they'll pick up something as simple as like a pair of scissors and say, oh my God, these scissors, if I ever cut paper with them, I would be in so much trouble. These were the never paper scissors.
Right.
And these were so special to her. And I never really paid attention to them until this moment.
Right.
Because that always happens. Yeah. And it's about everything. And I want to be able to record that, give it to you, and cut it into an episode with some narration, like what we did with Grammy Mickey, what we did with my grandma, to be able to give that to the family at the end of the sale and go, hey, here's all your memories that you told me about and those items. Now, when you think about them, you can listen to it here. And that way, they still have the memories that were attached to the items, but the items are now living with somebody else who also knows their story. That, however that has to work, is what I want to roll into it also. To be able to go, here you go.
I love this so much because it's not, I think it's kind of a perfect evolution of, Is this going to be on the Mothball Prophecies, or is it going to be its own podcast? That is something I never actually asked you.
So make it another podcast. Make it a completely different feel.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of have a example episodes or something.
Not yet. Then we could encourage people that if they like, not like, you know, kind of offer some incentive, be like, if you would allow this to be publicly posted, we can omit names and change names. We will give you a X percentage break off of the cost of the recording when we're building it. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. If we say we'll use fiction, we'll change this, we'll change that. It'll be like a documentary. So that's one of the goals, right? I have now the 5-year goals have shifted from a state cell company back to, not that it ever left, back to Mothball Prophecies and where I want to see that go, where I want my baby to grow to. And all of this is happening, and we all know I cry. Let's not pretend that's not a thing I do, right? When I booked this contract and then drove home, I just like ugly cried in my car. Because 2 years ago, Sam would not recognize today Sam if they walked past each other on the street.
Right.
When I say that this show saved my life, it is not for the flair of the statement. I was in the worst mental health shape that I have ever been in my entire life. I did not have things worth living for outside of my son and my family. I didn't have my creativity. I didn't have my drive. I was not doing anything for myself. And when my career started to fall apart because of COVID, I was grasping at fucking straws and went, fuck it. I'm going to do a podcast. And no matter what happens to this fucking show or where this takes me, one of my friends said to me, she said, you'll always have the Mothballs. You'll always be the Mothballs. And I'm so grateful to 2 years ago me going, just do it. Just fucking recklessly trace this and be selfish. Because now I get to stand in one of my dreams because of it and still do this. Like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We built this thing from, I had no understanding of any of it at all. And we chased it and lost quite a bit of money and time, but I have never, ever regretted a penny or an hour or a minute or a day of doing this.
No, I've never had a single ounce of regret. And I think this, sure, we all worked as a team, but you led the team, right? Like you might not have had, we did a lot of figuring it out as we went along, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. We didn't have like all the perfect ideas from the start. Mm-mm. But when is there ever a perfect idea that, you know, that just comes out of thin air? The perfect idea typically comes from some evolution, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think about that a lot. I think about the journey this has taken me on personally as well as on the show, right? And I'm like the happiest I've ever been. I feel the best I've ever felt. I know I talk about my ADHD a lot, but it's like I said to somebody the other day, I said, it's like I'm in a new relationship, but the relationship is myself. Mm. I'm figuring out all these things about me that I thought were one thing and now they're another thing. And I am so grateful that from the beginning, Jill and I decided to be ourselves, right? To be who we were. And I'm grateful to each and every single one of you that's listening to this, either when it comes out or scrolling through the backlog. Like, thank you for also believing in this and being here and creating this space. I mean, the space that y'all have created is wonderful. And that's what made me feel comfortable stepping into this role, because the area I live in, we know, is very conservative, right? Red hair, I'm heavily tattooed. For the first time ever, I have no fear of showing up as that version of me in front of somebody else and going, hey, what's up? I'm Sam. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the stuff in this house. Let's get to the bottom of it. You know?
Wish everyone could have that much freedom.
I do too. I really do. Find my only advice in this entire podcast is find your version of the Mothball Prophecies. Find your version of a dream you want so desperately. It seems so reckless, but you feel in the deepness of your being that that is what you should be doing, and fucking do it. Because I was scared. I was nervous. I cried a lot. I panicked a lot. I doubted myself so fucking much. And it just happened. It happened.
You know.
It happened. And now I get to do my next thing. And I get to do it with that same fucking shit of going, I'm terrified, I'm scared, I'm nervous. And I just say to my own self, you figured it out before, you can figure it out again, it'll be all right. And it's okay. Now I have Gray's voice too going, it's all right if you fuck up, it's your estate sale company. It's okay if you figure it out as you go. It's all right. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be. It just has to be. And that's why I wanted Mothball Estate Sales to exist outside of my head and in the world, and hope that I can make at least one family feel okay with their decision, feel supported, feel cared for, feel understood, have a safe place to express their frustrations and concerns. If I can do that one time, that's fine with me. That's fine. Are you going to lose it, Gray? You doing okay over there?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I was just thinking, I'll probably cut this, but you really remind me of like a modern day Oprah.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, well, you know, the point where like Oprah, where she wasn't doing like, where she came to the point of like not, where she became the biggest personality in the world. And it was all, she was always trying to be like positive and spread inspiration to people and stuff like that. Like that's what this feels like. It feels like a very special moment.
And like, even though this is, you know, for the first time too in my life, I don't feel the need to say those things to inflate the air around me. I genuinely mean it. Genuinely hope. Just like I did when I started hairdressing, I was hoping, and this is a little deep, you can keep this or cut it. I was hoping that I would find the fat little girl that was so scared to be loud and encourage her to be loud. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that I would find somebody that was so different than their peers and they were fucking terrified that they could see me and go, look at this fat lady living her best fucking life and doing all the things I'm being told not to do.
Okay. And
that is, and I, okay, like, that's the other thing too, is some people, when I say a fat lady, they're like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I know I exist in that body. You don't have to fucking try and not make it a thing.
Yeah,
I'm cute as hell. I'm funny. I'm pretty. I'm all those things in a fat body, and it's cool. And other small people need to understand that fat people go on to do great things and live in a body they like and do these things that a narrative created for you, not by you, is given, you know? Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, I just hope that, I just want people to feel okay about it. And like, that they're doing whatever they need to do in whatever capacity, you know? Right. And if I can't support them, like, this is the other thing. If I don't get the estate sale, I'm still going to fucking support that person. I'm still going to make sure they're all right. I'm still going to make sure if they have any questions, they feel free to reach out. Yeah. Because the only thing anybody ever needs is a little bit of humanity, right? And some help from a stranger, maybe. Yeah. Some kindness and niceness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not just fucking give it to them? Who cares if you get paid for it? Who gives a fuck? Who cares? And that's why this is a thing. So, all of that to be said, the very first Mothball Estate Sale is at the end of July. should be the last weekend. If everything goes smoothly, we will announce official dates within the coming week. If you are local, it is in Idaho Falls, okay? If you'd like to be up to date on all of the details, please visit the Facebook under Mothball Estate Sales or the Instagram Mothball Estate Sales. If you're local and to the area and you know somebody that is interested in having an estate sale, please have them message us through any of those or directly on our website, mothballestatesales.com, which will be up within the next week and a half with contact and all of the information. And even if you know somebody that's thinking about it or they're hashing out that idea, give them my information. I'd be happy to help them. Happy to help them. Even if they don't hire me. You know? And thanks for the support in helping me. Or I guess, thank you all for letting me borrow a little bit of your courage so that I could take this step. Thanks. Thanks for being that weird little internet safety net. I appreciate it.
I don't know that anybody that started with the show isn't still with us. Save for that one person, I think, that sent us a message that was like, look, if you're going to keep up the swears, I love mm-hmm. the show, but I think the swears
you say, yeah,
are a little bit much.
Mm-hmm. It was early like, on. And then I made a hashtag that said the fuck word antique show.
Yeah, that was it. That was exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most people are probably, I think are still with us. Still see the same names and faces.
Yeah. For which sure. is wonderful. You know, it's a tremendous blessing in my life to have people I've never met face to face reach out and support. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Really, truly. I won't get into another deep story, but thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for
absolutely. Thank
the
you,
support,
everybody.
We are also quickly approaching 100 episodes. Mm-hmm. And that 100th episode is going to be recorded by every member of the Mothball Prophecies team that you know and love. It's going to be me. It's going to be Jill, Gray, Spellcheck, Melissa. We are all getting together remotely in the pod lounge. That's what we'll call it now, to record. And we want to hear from you. We want to know, what are your favorite moments? Who are your favorite guests? Who would you love to hear from and see where they're at now? What bloopers do you want to know? What shit do you want to hear that we've cut from the show? We want to know everything you want to hear from us. And then we're going to do kind of a roundtable Q&A sesh discussing our favorite moments. We're also going to be, everybody else is going to absolutely fucking destroy me with an estate sale walkthrough. Yeah. We're going to announce some other ideas and things that are whirling around within the Mothball universe. Cannot believe we're almost to 100.
That's nuts. That's nuts. That's huge. It was always my opinion, any podcast that made it past the number 30, I think I mentioned this to you before, any podcast that's gone past 30 episodes is pretty much here to stay, at least for as long as, mm-hmm. however, you know, creators can feel that, like, that it's worth it. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't feel this show ever is kind of slowing down, especially not anytime soon. But anyways, but yeah,
yeah, foreshadowing. Yeah. No, this is the slowest it will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love this show, and it is a part of my life. And I don't want to see it disappear anytime soon. I don't intend mm-hmm. for it to disappear anytime soon, but no, I absolutely love being a part of it.
Yeah, I ditto on all those things. This is like my part-time, full-time job.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of my free time working on the show and none of it feels like a chore. Like, I love it all the time. I love it. I love sitting down. I love every aspect of it. You know, the show has gifted me some of my best friends. I can't wait to see where the Mothball Prophecies is for 200 episodes, 300 episodes, mm-hmm. wherever we go.
This is a long haul.
Yeah. Here we are. Bowing our wake or something. Warrior cry. Do you want to hear? This is funny. Me and Melissa and Spellcheck have a new like battle cry that we say to each other when we say goodbye.
Oh yeah.
And it's the dumbest thing. We put our hands on our hips and we go Triceratops, and we put our hands up. And then we put our hands back on our hips and kind of do a little thrust. And we go, Triceratops. Because we go, Triceratops and bottoms. And then we say, bye, love you. I'll see you later. That's our new battle cry.
Love
so
it.
You're welcome, Triceratops and bottoms.
And bottoms. Triceratops and bottoms.
Getting it now. I don't know if it's from a meme or if we did it. Who knows? But... yeah, that is, that's where, you know, right now has been crazy with interviews and scheduling because of time and there's holidays and a lot going on within like the soccer world and the family world and all of those things. So I appreciate all of you that are here every week for a little bit different of a format during the summer of the Mothball Prophecies. Maybe this is just what we'll have to do in the summers moving forward as life gets busier and kids get older. We just have a summer series of chill, like summer camp. But Mothball Prophecies.
Yeah. As this is indeed a part of our lives, a very large part of our, all mm-hmm. of our lives, it's as evolving as any of our lives personally.
Yeah.
And if we weren't able to do that, if we weren't able to change things or kind of go with the flow of life with this mm-hmm. show, it wouldn't have lasted this long to begin with.
No way. No way. And, you know, hopefully moving forward, like, time opened up. There's more time to do mothball things. And, you know, I can spend more time working in my greenhouse, which has turned into my second podcast office. I didn't start any plants in there this year. I just worked in there, which is delightful, by the way. I write most of the shows from my greenhouse early on Sunday mornings when everybody else in my house is asleep.
No kidding.
And I have my coffee. I have all of this. I have...
You just needed an office.
I just needed another office. Not in the depths of my basement with spiders. I guess. Yeah. And that is, you know, I'm excited about the Mothball Estate Sale things and thinking about the like most frivolous details, right? Like mm-hmm. today I said to my mom, I said, I think I want to have jumpsuits for everybody that works, but like cute ones with chain stitch patches. How cool would that be?
Okay.
Like really lean into the...
I see you, Sam.
The look.
Kind of like, it just makes me think of, what was that movie? I'm like the early 2000s, Sunshine Cleaning or something. That was a call.
It's Sunshine Cleaning.
Is that what it's called?
They clean up. It's two sisters and they just start a business cleaning crime scenes, essentially. And
yep.
That was like, there's this fact I repeat from that movie that I'm not sure if it's actual, where they're like, you can't shake that garbage bag in here. And she's like, why? And they're like, because of airborne biohazards, you can't fucking shake a black. And I was like, so now I'll be like, you know, you can't shake a garbage bag at a crime scene, full knowing that it's from a movie without any... probably based in any reality. Yeah. So if you've heard me say that in real life, don't say anything to me about it. Nothing. Okay.
Calling Sam out.
Don't say shit. Yeah. My husband the other day said to me, we were sitting outside and he goes, you know, I was thinking. I said, what were you thinking about? He goes, I was thinking you're going to need a bigger vehicle. And I said, oh? And he says, yeah, you're going to need like a little pickup truck. And I said, do you think so? He goes, yeah. And like maybe a little trailer that's wrapped with like Mothball Estate Sales. And I said, there's something. But I'm like, I don't want to fucking learn how to pull a trailer. Not right now. And he says, and then, you know, you could really lean into the national park thing because the signs are shaped after like vintage national park signs. He goes, then your truck could look like a little park ranger truck. And I was like, I don't hate that idea. Then I was like, maybe I should just find a classic car eventually that sits out front.
Oh, Now I'm just imagining like an old Model T or
You talk for a second because I'm gonna look up my ideal like vintage car for no other Dodge specifics Brothers other or... than I look like cool.
I mean there's kind of a lot you could do.
There was one for sale when I was like it was when I was like 19. I had no business owning one. It's a Phantom. I would love a vintage Phantom, like pre-60s, like a Rolls Royce Phantom is my, that body style, like that kind of Cruella de Vil creeper kind of car. Or like, I've always loved a Bel Air. I've always loved a Bel Air.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or
Jesus. Or a hearse. Pickup. How about a hearse?
I'm also heavily considering kind of a minivan, right? All blacked out.
I think you could go full Ghostbusters and get a hearse. Just convert it.
That seems a little too tongue-in-cheek for the estate sale business.
Maybe a little bit.
I mean, mothballs already niche enough for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a hearse sure. might be if I roll up and have like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da like horn and then like get yeah. out. Tattoos, red hair, jumpsuit, chain stitch, bowling or like shoes or something. Really amped up.
See if you could find an old Woody.
Pull the canopy out with the, you know, rollers in the back. Hi, everybody. No. No. But a minivan would be dope because it makes it like pretty cool, like mom wagon, you know, with all my friends. If we want to go.
For sure.
Also, like, there's lots of places it's an enclosed pickup, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They got a towing package for those assholes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Send us your vehicle ideas to themothballprophecies@gmail.com, please. Yeah. Also, if you are local and you're a local business that would like to participate or sponsor either the show or things at the estate sales, please be in touch. We can always work something like that out. And we are also in the search of our first sponsors for the podcast. But we don't want to do the regular run-of-the-mill, everybody hears about them, sponsors, right? I want sponsors that are locally owned antique stores in different parts of the country. If you own a shop somewhere and you want it promoted on the podcast, we can discuss something to do that. If you are ready to take your reselling business to the next level and you'd like to promote it to the most adoring vintage fucking fans in the world, please send us an email with the subject sponsor, themothballprophecies@gmail.com, or hit us up on Instagram. We'd love to figure something out with you and get your stuff out into the world in front of our wonderful fucking listeners that would support you almost too much. Almost too much. Yeah. I think we got it all. Did we hit all the spots?
I think so.
It's creating the interest so we can build it to the 100th episode. But again, thank you, everybody. Be sure to follow along with us on all the platforms now. The Mothball Prophecies Original, as well as Mothball Estate Sales. Another fun thing I've rolled out. If you're a Patreon member, you get a behind the scenes look at my sweaty, un-air-conditioned ass inside of a house sorting through stuff. So if you'd like to see me almost trip up the stairs carrying a bag of garbage or throwing a tote across the room because I thought there was a spider. Turns out it was a dust bunny. That happened today. You can see our Patreon tiers and all of the links in the link tree in our Instagram bio. As always, I genuinely hope you find some good shit.
Go hug somebody.
Yeah. Give them a hug. Don't blow your fingers off today. Also, be respectful. Don't be a ding dong. Love you so much. We're gonna go.
Take care of yourselves.
Yeah, take care of yourselves. Bye.